Good to see you all this evening. Desire your prayers. Have a little message on faith that I would like to talk about this evening. If I had to label it, I would label it consistently believing. And what I want us to think about is, do we believe? Most of us would probably say yes. If somebody said, do we have faith? You would probably say yes. So I would ask us a question. Do you think you can have faith and then find it faltering? I'm going to answer for myself. Yes. I'm not going to answer for anybody else, but I know, you know, sometimes I can think, you know, I have faith, Lord, you're providing things, and then suddenly, I'm questioning things. I'm struggling. You know, or maybe sometimes you even feel, and once again, speaking more for myself, that God's just not listening. You're talking, but He just doesn't seem to be responding. And have you ever had the devil also show up about that time? The devil, at least in my life, seems to have an uncanny knack to know about the time the Lord seems to go silent. The devil shows up and starts saying, you know, let me put all these thoughts in your mind. So I'd like to start off in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. And this is the Lord, he's speaking to Elijah, says, and it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So let's just stop right there now. So here Elijah, 3 years ago, he had spoke to King Ahab and had told the king that through God, no rain or dew, nothing that was going to be water was going to fall until he said it would. And there had been a drought on the land. And the king had been looking for Elijah. He had traveled up and down, around. He was going around asking different places, is Elijah here? And if you said no, he took an oath from you, because if Elijah showed up there, he was going to come back. King Ahab was looking for Elijah. So now the Lord is telling Elijah it's time for rain. So Elijah meets, I think it was Obadiah, one of the king's officers, and tells him, go tell the king that I'm ready to talk to him, that we're going to talk to him today. And he shows himself to the king. He challenges the prophets of Baal. We all remember that story. The prophets of Baal put their sacrifice together. They hollered, they danced, they cut themselves, they cried. Elijah mocked them a bit. You cry louder, maybe your God's asleep. And then nothing happened, and it came Elijah's turn. Elijah tells him, here's the altar, put everything together, dig the trench around it. Now go get, I think it was 4 barrels of water, pour the water out on the altar. And then in one prayer, he prays to God, fire comes down. Not only did it consume the wood and the sacrifice, it consumed the stones, it consumed the water in the ditch. God worked in a wonderful way. And so what happens next is where I want us to start digging in a little more about believing consistently. So in verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So now we see here the part that I want us to take notice of. So the Lord had told Elijah, it's time for rain. And had worked wonderfully with the prophets. And so that's taken care of, it's time for rain. And Elijah goes, tells the king, it's time to eat because there's an abundance of rain. How much rain was in the area? Did Elijah make that statement because there was massive clouds on the horizon? No. Elijah made that statement because God told him, go tell him it's going to rain. He was like, it's time for the rain. The Lord said so. So prepare yourself. Go ahead and eat and drink and get ready. So he goes up to Mount Carmel and gets down on the ground. And I find it interesting. It says he placed his face between his knees. He wasn't even looking at this point. He's up there on top of the mountain. And as far as we can tell, it doesn't explicitly say that he prayed. But he was praying. Now he'd been told by God, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. And so he asked his servant, go look out at the sea. Do you see anything? And the servant goes and looks. Nope, I don't see anything. What did Elijah do? Did he get up? Did he change what he was doing? No. Elijah stayed where he was at, stayed in his position of prayer, if you want to call it that, and told the servant to go look. Again, this was done 7 times before a small cloud. But let's think about this, how Elijah might have felt. So he prayed once and fire and brimstone, I guess whatever it took to burn up all the altar and the stone, all of that fell from heaven. Now he's going to ask for rain. Once, nothing. I don't know how long he prayed between sending the servant. We don't know that. Twice. Nothing. You know, God was answered quick just a little while ago. Just 30, 40 minutes ago, an hour ago. I mean, he answered like that. I wonder where he's at now. Why isn't he answering now? 3 times. Nothing. 4 times. Still nothing. Don't you think you might start wondering, well, Lord, did you change your mind? Aren't you going to send rain? You told me to go tell the king rain was coming. Or maybe did I misunderstand you, God? Did I just think that? Or maybe I just thought I heard him. Maybe he really didn't speak to me. Maybe. Think that could have started going through somebody's mind? I know in my personal life at times, I've had instances where I've been praying on things and I felt like the Lord gave me a direction, and then because it's delayed, I start asking questions when I probably should just keep praying. Because here it just says Elijah just kept praying. 5 times, still nothing. 6 times, still nothing. What do we do? We're going to look foolish. God's not answering. What are people going to think if I can't convince God to go ahead and send the rain like he told me he was? Why isn't God doing what he told me he would do? Is there something wrong with me? Y'all ever felt those things come into your mind, come into your thoughts? But Elijah just kept praying. And then the 7th time, the servant goes out there. He says, I see a cloud. I don't know if it's a spread hand or a clenched fist. I don't know how you would say the size of a man's hand. But either way, whether I spread my hand out or clench it up, it's not a very big cloud if you think about it. One little cloud way off in the sea. And what I admire is Elijah's response. Because what I'm about to say next would be probably more my response. So when Elijah saw that little cloud, did he start praying harder? Okay, God, it looks like you're about to answer. You know, I see you made a cloud, but I still need the rain, Lord. Did Elijah do that? No. As soon as that small cloud appeared, what did Elijah do? It's time to stop praying, folks. We got a cloud. If we got a cloud, we're about to have rain. You want to talk about some faith? He got up, went down, and told the king, I know I told you to eat and drink, but we're about to have so much rain, if you want to get back home, you need to take off now. The cloud the size of a man's hand. I've been challenged sometimes thinking about, you know, if we're praying for things, praying for something in our lives, and the Lord puts a little cloud out there, do we accept that cloud the way Elijah accepted the cloud shown to him? Or do we sometimes, well, Lord, it's a cloud, it's an encouraging sign, but I'm looking for something bigger. You know, how easy would it have been to maybe get up and say, well, I'm going to watch the cloud for a bit, see if it grows before I go tell Ahab. I want to make sure, I really don't want to lie to the king, you know. I want to watch that cloud for a bit. Do you know watching that cloud in a way is a bit of doubt? It's a bit of questioning, is it really going to happen? Instead, he got up and told the king, it's time to go. What would have happened if he would have watched that cloud? So I'm going to speak to you of what I've observed watching weather roll in. You'll see a cloud, and then sometimes you'll see the cloud break into two small little clouds, and it looks like it's actually going away almost. And then maybe they recombine now and then to a bigger cloud. And then that one seems to almost go away. Maybe you got four or five little clouds again. But you know, if you watch over time, you're going to have that big, massive thunderhead with the rain come through. Sometimes watching instead of trusting is not as conducive to our faith as we might think. So I want to look now at another story. This one's over in Acts chapter 10. And it's with Peter. And y'all know I've talked about Peter before and how I've felt like Peter, and definitely feel like that in the midst of a, you know, the walking on the water, that it's easy to get distracted and potentially fall. But I don't want to talk about that experience of Peter's right now. I want to talk about a different experience where Peter showed a faith, a trusting of the Lord, even when things weren't clear. I'm going to say weren't clear maybe even from the start. And Peter just had to go through the situation trusting the Lord. So we all know Peter had the vision of the clean and the unclean animals, don't we? So this vision happened, a sheet with all these animals in it was lowered down in front of Peter. He was hungry. It was, I'm going to say, lunchtime in the house. They were preparing food. And three times this dream lowered this food before him and told him to eat. And three times he's like, oh no, Lord, I've never ate anything unclean. And three times the Lord said, don't call what I've cleaned unclean. And so let's pick up in Acts chapter 10, verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So now I want us to stop and think about what this just said. So now Peter is sitting here, and it says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, so Peter's pondering this. Something's different here, Lord. I don't understand this. I'm trying to figure out what it means. You've given me a vision. You've sent it three times, but I don't understand. And then there's a knock on the door. There's three Gentile men saying, we want you to come. The Lord has told us that you have something for us. And the Spirit once again says to Peter, go and stop doubting. Does it say Peter had understanding at that moment? It doesn't say that. It just says the Lord told him, go and don't doubt why you're going. I'm sending you. Have you ever sometimes felt in your life, I just don't understand, Lord. I feel like you're wanting me to do something. I'm feeling like you're moving me in a direction, but it's not clear. I don't understand. We as humans can really need clarity sometimes before we move. There's people by their very nature, if they don't think they can see everything mapped out, they won't move. It's the way they're made. But sometimes God is going to ask us, guess what? Move. I need you. So, what do you think was going through Peter's mind? He's being told, go with these Gentiles. Was a Jew supposed to socialize with the Gentiles? No. So what do you think might be going through his mind? I've had this vision, this dream. I'm supposed to go with these men. I'm not supposed to... The word don't doubt could mean don't dispute it. Don't contest it. So I'm supposed to go with these men, and yet I've been maybe taught by the old Jewish law that this is not right. Do you know that just like Elijah had to continue praying for rain, Peter had to go doubting nothing? He had to move out and trust that even though he was pondering on what it meant, that everything was going to be all right, like the Lord had said. Now, these men came and had explained why they'd been sent to Peter, because an angel had come to their master and said, you've got a message for us. Do you think Peter was questioning maybe how would a Gentile be converted? There's so many things that I wouldn't have looked at the, I don't know if you'd call it regulations, but kind of like the teachings on converting to Judaism. It's actually pretty complex. You have to kind of be trained and taught. There's a kind of like a little council that's going to interview eventually and decide if you've learned enough to be considered acceptable to convert. If you are, they will bring you in. You have to be baptized. There's a lot of things that have to go through the little rituals for it to be done right. Do you think Peter was maybe considering that, since the early church still held a lot of those? Okay, Lord, well, you know, he took other men with him that were Jews. It says there were others that went with him. He was prepared. He had the people needed for a council. Do you think maybe he pondered a bit? Well, what if they asked me to actually eat something that's unclean? You know? Well, Lord, you put this thing down. Maybe is it about the food, Lord? What am I supposed to be focusing on? But Peter went. He went in faith. And he actually gets there. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 28. And now he's sitting there and he's talking to the men. They've re-explained what was going on, Cornelius has. So in verse 28, Peter, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms which are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the home of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I went sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So what I want us to notice here is, have you noticed Peter is gaining more understanding? Now he understands this isn't about food. This isn't about a particular unclean. This is about the people. This is about they're not unclean. The Lord has got something he's going to do for them. And so he had traveled there to preach to them. He admits he came in spite of his Jewish upbringing. He came in spite of the background he had been raised in that, you know, this is maybe not right. And so, because he was obedient through faith, he starts preaching. And let's drop down to verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So here we see the final opening, if you will, of the message the Lord had sent Peter on with faith. Because now Peter watched the Holy Spirit fall. The Holy Spirit had came down. Normally, that would be after baptism. Normally, it would be after a bunch of rituals, a bunch of things done. And God had worked his work ahead of time. And so Peter turns to the other Jews with him and says, since God's done his part, any reason we can't just go ahead and baptize these men and do ours? Do you know what God had just opened up to Peter? He had opened up to Peter where God was taking his church. That his church was going to go worldwide. It wasn't just going to be contained with the Jews. Now, what kind of faith did the men have that allowed the Holy Ghost to just fall on them? We don't have any record in here that they got down and confessed their sins. Were baptized? None of that. Yet these men had apparently had enough faith. It said they prayed to God. And they gave alms. They did what they could do to honor, obey, and follow God. And so as Peter preached to them, their faith was such that they grabbed hold and that Holy Spirit fell, folks. Have you ever considered their faith? Okay. Send for Peter. The angels told us we're about to get something. Peter's here. All right. Come on, Peter. Speak. We want to hear. You know, Peter, no doubt, saw this house full of converts like a small cloud to the new church. All right, Lord. The rain's about to come. You are opening up the way to the Gentiles. You're sending your spirit on the Gentiles. The abundance of rain is on the horizon. Have we ever thought about that from Peter's view? What started out as, Lord, I don't understand the dream. That's contrary to everything I've been taught. It's against my upbringing. To at the end of it, we have no record that Peter was ever required to eat of an unclean animal in this episode. Because it wasn't about the animals. It was about the cleansing of humanity by God. Sometimes do we ever get caught in the trap of our limited understanding and let it hinder what God may potentially want us to be involved in? What if Peter would have... You know, Peter was kind of outspoken sometimes. He basically occasionally challenged Christ himself on... You know, Lord, we're not going to let that happen. That's not going to be the way it is. And the Lord said, Peter, get behind me. You know, it was in Peter's nature to potentially stand up and say, but Lord, that's wrong. I don't understand. You're going to have to show me first. But instead, he moved out on faith and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep myself, but I will move trusting you. Now, one thing I do like about the new converts is the last sentence in verse 48. It says, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know, these converts had been preached to, they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, but that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted more. You know, they had shown faith in following through on the command to go get Peter and listen. They had obviously listened with faith. The Holy Spirit had responded. And now they're like, you're here, but we want more. We feel like there's more to be had, that we don't want just this token initial passing. We want to dig in. We want more understanding. We want to understand more this Holy Spirit that fell on us. What is it? How do we use it in our lives? How do we leverage the power of it? So let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4 and verse 8. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So if we look at this, Abraham's faith was something that was real. It wasn't just a statement. Abraham's works, we know his works didn't justify him, but do you know his works clearly backed up his faith? It talks about so that Abraham, who walked in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. He walked when God told him to move. What city was Abraham going for? We don't know the name, do we? Do we have a recorded name of that city that Abraham was going to? Oh, all it says is the one whose founder and builder was God. That's the city he was going to. Where was it? What directions did he have to get there? He really didn't have any, did he? The Lord seemed to tell Abraham, go over here. Okay, stop. Go over here. Stop. You see all this land? It'll be yours one day. Not yours, really, but all of your seed will own it. You won't own any of it while you're alive. Abraham believed, consistently believed what the Lord told him would happen for his seed coming behind him, even though he wasn't going to see any of it. Abraham was never going to see, if you will, the small cloud, or did he? Do you think Isaac was his small cloud? A child born to a man 100 years old? You know, Lord, if you can do this, that multitude of seed, I see it, Lord. I understand. And so with these men, what I like about that verse, about they asking him to stay there, was their journey of faith was beginning. And as Abraham, the father of faith, had done so many years before, they had taken a step forward, they had sent for Peter in faith to be preached to, and they desired him to stay with them a little longer to prepare them for whatever their next step of faith they would have to take on. And I would challenge all of us this evening, consistently believe. Keep taking your steps of faith. just make sure you're listening to the Lord. If you're listening to the Lord, even if you don't understand, even if you can't see the end, even if it seems like sometimes he's just not even talking, if you're where he told you to be, just consistently believe. Keep encouraged. You know, there's a great reward that lies at the end of the journey. What city do we all believe Abraham's in right now? He's in paradise, waiting for the heavenly city. He can probably see things we can't see. And for him, his faith, I think, is already lost in sight. Y'all pray for me.